Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning. This is Uprising. We are glad that you are with us for another Sunday morning. It's Sunday, November 19th.
Already.
Thanksgiving week.
Looking
forward to some time, hopefully, with family this week and friends, and a great worship service this morning at Bellevue Presbyterian Church, who sponsors us. They happen to also employ the two of us. I'm Christy Shea Moore, and I'm the pastor at Bellevue Presbyterian, and I am joined by my co-host,
the Wizard of Rock.
The Wizard of Rock, David Ross.
David Ross. That is,
and
I.
David and I have been working together for, I guess, so it's been over a year.
Yeah,
a year and a half, maybe. I think a year and a half.
Yeah.
And he'll be with us this Sunday with our worship band, and we also have fabulous Thanksgiving dinner later today, 5:30. If you would like some great turkey and all the fixings, come on over to 100 Cross Timbers, and we'd be happy to feed you. Looking forward to it. And this has been a week as we're getting ready for a holiday. I'm somewhat not surprised that I've been a little under the weather, and I know last week David was under the weather, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm sure people could hear me coughing in the background.
Coughing.
Last week's show.
So just to prepare you that might be me this week. I do have the bag of Halls is nearby.
The biggest bag of Halls I've ever seen.
It's from Costco, and a big shout out to Costco because they have been fabulous to our church, because we have a ministry that's called Civil that we are involved in mentoring some of the youth from our area. So we have a youth group that comes on Wednesday night, and we feed them. And Costco has been so gracious to give us some of the food that they can't keep on Tuesday night. So thank you, Costco. Really, really grateful for what they've been doing in this week of gratitude. Just want to mention them. And also our sponsors again this week, the Rose family has graciously sponsored the show again. Carl and Phyllis Rose, I mentioned last week. Carl Rose owns Rose Carpet Cleaning along with Phyllis, and Phyllis also runs 828 Marketing, and so she's the one who produced our logo, our Uprising logo. So thank you to Phyllis and Carl for sponsoring us again. So as I mentioned, we've not been feeling well, and so wondered, since it's been kind of a down week, and my friend David is not known for paying attention to the news. So,
nonsense.
Yes, I sometimes call it his great cloud of unknowing, but I bet all the more you didn't pay any attention much.
Hey, ignorance is blissful.
Yeah, this week.
Especially this
day. I'm sure it was. So we have a little segment that we want to share with you. And
I'm very proud of the soundbite I'm about to play.
Me too.
And now it's time.
I don't watch TV news generally.
To tell Dave the news.
I don't watch the news.
Because let's face it, he doesn't know what's going on. All right. Tell me the news, Christy.
Well, most of the news this week has been filled with celebrities and politicians behaving very, very badly.
That's weird.
Imagine that. So I'm going to spare our listeners that piece of news. But the thing that really got me this week was that People Magazine named their sexiest man alive, and they named Blake Shelton the sexiest man alive.
I could see it.
Twitter was not having it. Not having it at all. In fact, I saw several things that were so funny. One was asking the question, like, were all the Chrises not available, or did they die?
Right.
And so, of course, I probably would have been happy if Chris Evans had been named, or Chris Pine. They've already named Chris Hemsworth. But Chris Pratt would have been a good choice, too. So all the Chrises, I think I named them all.
Well, I was thinking of, like, The Voice. I'm assuming Adam Levine
has already had it. Yeah.
Okay.
He had the title, and so that became the big thing that Blake, I guess, was revealing to him, that he's now
you can't do it
on par with him.
You can't do it 2 years in a row.
No, I don't think they do that. But then another person on Twitter, you know, said Blake Shelton was the sexiest man alive that America deserves. He's the one America deserves.
Okay, so how about some international news?
Okay, from international news. And this comes to us via the New York Times. And I swear it is the Times. At first, I thought it was The Onion. I really had to check this out because this is the headline. Sausage Roll Jesus creates heartburn for UK bakery firm.
Okay.
So apparently a British bakery chain had to apologize after creating a nativity scene in which the baby Jesus is surrounded by three wise men and Jesus was replaced by a sausage roll. And not just any sausage roll, but one that had also been bitten into. So this
wow.
was from Greggs, the largest bakery chain in Britain. And they released this image to help promote its $32 Advent calendar. But no sooner had the image of the sausage roll savior been published than consumers of all faiths took to Twitter to express their moral indignation and outrage at this. One woman observed that Jesus was Jewish and that pork was not kosher. And she said, out of interest, do you think that the people at Greg's understand that Jesus was Jewish and serving up a pork sausage roll in the manger is unbelievably inappropriate? This was from a Beth Rosenberg trying to set them straight.
I got to say, sausage rolls are pretty amazing. I experienced them when I went to Edinburgh, Scotland, and I couldn't get enough of them, but I don't know if they're that amazing to be able to replace Jesus.
I don't think they, I don't even think, I prefer, my native West Virginia is known for their pepperoni rolls. Have you had a West Virginia pepperoni roll?
Not yet. I have not.
Wow, you have missed out. I'm going to have to see how I, one of these days, next trip to West Virginia, bringing you back pepperoni rolls. But it seems a little cavalier on the part of Greg's there. So just never know
what you miss
when you don't pay attention to the news.
Gosh.
But that's why God has given you to me and me to you so I can tell you the news.
I thought you were going to say that's why God gave us Twitter or something like that.
And Twitter.
That too.
And the New York Times.
All right. I'm informed. I know what's going on in the world. We can move forward.
So what, after the fact that we both have kind of bounced back from being sick, that's a little bit of a clue to maybe what our topic is for this week.
Yes.
And we also have a little snippet of a clue.
A little audio clue.
The audio clue of the day. I get knocked down.
Oh, yeah, this song.
Yes.
The greatest song of the 90s.
It is a fun song about something fairly serious, about sometimes life knocks us down, but yet we can get back up again. So today's theme is resilience.
And perseverance.
And meaty, great topics to delve into. So kind of to kick us off, I wonder if there's maybe a story that we could share about from our own lives or from lives of those close to us that kind of exhibited resilience. What have you seen in your own experience?
Oh, man, I could think of a lot of examples, but you sent me, it was an article from the Wall Street Journal, and it was about people that grow up with hardships in early in life. And there was some study done that a lot of them, it has different effects on people. And in this particular study, I think it was like 2/3 of those that had a really tough upbringing, they went on to experience kind of further hardships and addictions and trouble. But the 1/3 had the opposite effect, and they became very successful in life and went the complete opposite direction of kind of their upbringing. And so like, I was thinking of my best friend growing up, Dave. He grew up like not with a whole lot of excess, and his dad wasn't around a whole lot, and just didn't have the easiest childhood. And today he's working on Wall Street, just killing it.
Wow.
And I always remember like he wasn't in like the honors math classes, and like I was, and I guess I always thought, like, maybe he wasn't great at math or school or something, and now he's, like, got this huge Wall Street job, and it just goes to show, like, I think it was instilled in him, like, if you want to make it, mm-hmm. like, you've got to work for it. And he had to. And I think that's what happens, like, if you get backed into a corner like that as a kid or in your upbringing where you don't have everything handed to you, like, and it's instilled in you, like, okay, I'm going to have to work for this
mm-hmm.
for the rest of my life. And then I guess that's where a hard upbringing is a blessing in disguise.
It was interesting, and this was a Wall Street Journal article that I ran across this week, and it was from their November 10th issue, and it's by a woman named Meg Jay, and the article's called The Secrets of Resilience, and the subheading is What Does It Take to Conquer Life's Adversities? Lessons from Successful Adults Who Overcame Difficult Childhoods. And as David pointed out, you know, in these studies that there were these one-third who had a lot of things and difficulties thrown at them, but yet, in retrospect, they said the majority, you know, of that group, that one-third that went on to become very successful and to overcome a lot of their hardships, so they reported that their most important asset was determination. One woman said, I'm a fighter. I am determined. I will survive. I give it 100% before I give up, and I will never lose hope. And that really, really speaks to me. And I also quickly, I think after that, I sent you a few things about scripture, you know, but, and one is just a really short snippet that's from Romans. And I turn to this a lot when I preach, just because I find such strength from it myself. It's from Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, and it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually verses 3 through 5 of Romans 5. But so, were there other stories? Anything else you'd throw in?
Other stories of resilience. I mean, I can think of some like personal stuff. We're going to do an episode on pain at some point, but mm-hmm. one thing I've had to deal with is not fun. I think it's just part of getting older, but it's back pain, but like really like chronic back pain that I've experienced that I think it's tied to an injury that I had when I fell in high school. And I think it might be tied to that. And like in the last 3 years, it's now popping up as a problem. And it came on kind of quick. And back pain is one of those things that is so hard to diagnose and find what's causing it, like especially chronic pain. And I've realized that after seeing like doctor after doctor, chiropractors, orthopedic surgeons, like at really great institutions that they just have no idea. And they like to make you believe that they know what's causing it, and they don't, unfortunately, in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And so it's been frustrating, and it still affects me today. But I have done a much better job at like managing that, not letting it like destroy my spirits totally. Because there was a lot of hard days at work, because I've got a desk job at a stage production company, and a lot of hard days when that started up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, because you can't sit there and work and focus, and then I do a lot of music, and like it was hard to just sit at the computer and work, like because I've got this pain of always having to walk around and stretch, and
so what?
It's gonna drive you crazy.
What helps you to persevere through that?
Yeah.
What's the key?
There was a point where I was finding it hard to find joy in the day. And I just had to ask God for joy. And that was the starting point, like changing my focus. Like, okay, I'm not going to think about and dwell on the pain so much. And that's what mindfulness is. And like my mom's really big on mindfulness. She's a therapist and she really yeah. believes in that practice. And so, and that's about kind of just observing your pain or what you have going on from a non-judgmental standpoint, being present. And that helped a lot. And just directly talking to God about it. I mean, mm-hmm. I can go a long time without being aware of God or being thankful or thinking about what he's doing in my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even whether you work at a church or not, like, it's easy to get just distracted by life. And so it changed my focus for the better. And you know, sometimes you have to be, like, backed into a corner like that in order to reach out to God
Absolutely.
For help.
Well, I do want to play a song, and I feel like that the Spirit it inspires us. I mean, all the roots are the same for Spirit and inspiration, and that is one of the ways I think that God speaks to us in hard times is through the gift of art and beauty, and even when we're in desolate places, that we can turn to God in prayer, and we can listen to music or watch something that inspires us. At least that's something that helps me. And one song that I chose for this week's topic was, and it sprang to mind really quickly, is a song that Bruce Springsteen wrote after 9/11. And I think we saw our country's resilience in 9/11 and the people that immediately ran to help. As Mr. Rogers used to always say, you know, when you would ask questions about where's God when something awful happens or when people are really hurt, that he said to always look for the helpers. And you saw the helpers in the New York Police Department and the fire department and the people that ran, you know, toward the towers instead of running away from trouble, but ran to help. Mm-hmm. And those first responders, many of them gave their own lives. And I was showing you the lyrics earlier, David, and there's one reference, I think, is to one of the chaplains who worked with the fire department who lost his life. So you might hear a reference in the lyrics, but Springsteen's The Rising, I think it can speak to all of us, and I hope encourage you this morning and whatever you're carrying or dealing with to know that God helps us to rise.
Very nice.
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. I can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. Far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half a mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on.
Blood mixed
with mine. A dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of my line. Sky of blackness and sorrow, dream of life. Sky of love, sky of tears, dream of life. Sky of glory and sadness, dream of life. Sky of mercy, sky of fear.
The Rising by Bruce Springsteen, the boss. It's a good, good anthem of resilience, and lots of good scripture on resilience for sure. Like to read this passage from James 1 verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So kind of joy when you're in a trial, when you're in a hard time. That's easy to do, not.
It's hard, but I think in some ways to me, I often think about, you know, it's if you haven't been working out your physical body. I remember once, like the first time I joined a gym, and I really overdid it with how much I was doing on the weights.
Oh,
it was awful.
I felt great the next day.
I was in so much pain. There wasn't enough ibuprofen, or I remember taking ibuprofen and acetaminophen, and getting rubbed down with Bengay and a hot bath and everything I could think of. But it just was painful,
yeah.
You know, because just wasn't prepared and used to it. And you have to build up that kind of resistance, and you know,
right,
with your muscles. And I think it's the same with our spirits, with that inner stuff. Whether you call it spirit or soul, that also needs to be exercised, and that I think it's tribulation that does that for us. It's the trials and the testings. Because if you look back at times, you know, when you think you've probably grown the most spiritually, I guarantee you, you will talk about times that have been hard and difficult.
Oh, yeah.
And painful. Yes.
Except for your faith that's kind of put to the test.
Exactly.
But thinking about kind of modern stories of perseverance and resilience, and there's one guy I'd love to talk about. His name's Tim Shaw, and you might have heard of him. He was if you're a Titans fan, you'll know him, because he was a Titans linebacker for 2 years, and played for Penn State for 4 years, and just amazing football career, celebrity. And 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, which kind of came to the public eye with the whole ice bucket challenge. Probably remember
we
when
did
that.
It. I did it.
Did you?
The church did it too. We had a very, very dear church member, Connie Dean, who passed away years ago from ALS.
Right.
And
right.
So we have a video of the church doing it.
But man, Tim Shaw, like, just a crazy inspiring dude. And so he's 2 years into having ALS, and I remember first hearing him. Crosspoint Church did something, a video with him when he kind of first realized that he had it, and he sounds, looks completely normal. 2 years later, you can clearly see what it's doing to his body. But he's like one of the most positive dudes like I've ever heard. Like, he's so inspirational, and he's big on activism, and it seems like it's made him happier and stronger in the long run, although
wow,
I can't imagine how hard it's been for him. But just want to play a clip of Tim Shaw talking about, he keeps this whiteboard in his room and he writes his goals on it, and he's been doing it his whole career, and he would write just long-term, you know, kind of goals. And now he talks about 2 years into having ALS, what do those goals look like now? Here's Tim Shaw.
You talk about the whiteboard and writing the goals down on the whiteboard. What's on your whiteboard today?
Today my whiteboard says walk, talk, and thrive. And what that means to me is those are two of the simplest things you can think of, to walk and to talk. But for me, those are difficult things, and I want to do those as long as I can. So when I see that, I think, you know what, I'm going to walk today. I may fall down, but I'm going to walk. I'm going to talk today. And when I talk, the words I use are going to be important. I'm not going to waste my words. And then thrive to me means that in everything I do, I just want to flourish and do my best.
Christy, you're a little teary-eyed after that?
Absolutely. Gosh, that yeah. just is amazing.
Yeah, that's resilience. I mean, that's that's perseverance. Just, it was hard. It's hard to talk and walk for one guy, and he's going to do it anyway. And
exactly. And I think it's for many folks, it's sort of like, what was that Tim McGraw song, Live Like You're Dying. I mean, when you know that, and all of our days are numbered, we just don't know generally like how much time we have. But when somebody gets a diagnosis like ALS, you know, or finds out that they have an illness where there is a prognosis and they're told you maybe have a few months or maybe you have a few years. Time, you know, there's also that Bonnie Raitt song that always comes to my mind, Nick of Time, that, you know, life gets mighty precious when there's less of it to waste. And so you begin to realize how precious life is, and you want to make, you know, the most of every day that you have.
For sure.
Well, we have just, this is a lot like preaching a sermon in some ways, because I want to keep going on, and we do have a limited amount of time. However, I think that we have more in us to say about being resilient. What do you think?
We'll have to be resilient for another week.
If we can leave you on the edge a bit, that there's more to be gleaned from Scripture about how do we be resilient and get back up after life has battered us and knocked us down.
Sequel.
Oh, I love a sequel. Actually, I love a trilogy. I don't know that we need to do three, but definitely two.
Yeah, we'll see.
It'll be bigger and better.
And they'll do a prequel. We'll go like way back.
Mind blown.
Or not.
Yes.
We are quoting Scripture. It doesn't go much further back.
But we hope maybe you will, if you've enjoyed this show, that you will come and join us at our worship service at 10:30. And we had some fans with us this last week. So
yeah, that's nice.
And I hope we might see some of you folks again and come and see us and join us for our Thanksgiving dinner. Definitely be talking about the things that we are grateful for this week and how to best ask God to use us in his service.
And that's Bellevue Presbyterian Church in Bellevue, 100 Cross Timbers Road.
Hope to see you there. So hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and you will be back to join us next Sunday at 8:30. Peace out, Nashville.
Peace out.